All right, what's up, everybody? I don't know if how many of you this is your first time meeting me or seeing me. Liar. My mom used to tell me, yeah. What's up, Jake? I know your name. My mom used to tell me it was funny. My mom. I might share some stories about my mom that I'll have to approve of her first. But my mom. Whenever we'd lie, she literally sell straight to our face. She's like, you know, liars go to hell, right? I'd be like, Mom, you're telling me I'm going to hell. She's like, yeah. As of my mom. Yeah, I'm Pastor Isaiah. This is my third time sharing with you guys. But, man, I can say I am really excited to share with teenagers, with, like, people who can understand, people who want to grow. Kids can understand, but they'll listen to anything you have to say. Like, I could go up there and show them, like, fire and then say Jesus, and they'll be like, yeah, Jesus. But, like, you guys will be like, what the heck, man? Like, if it doesn't make sense, you're going to tell me or you're going to show me by your face. But I appreciate if you would just, like, if you like something, just, like, give me a thumbs up. You can, like, say amen if you want to be old school. You can say that's good. You can say whatever. All right, so I want to practice on the count of three. Just say that's good. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right, let's try it one more time because it makes me feel good because I'm new at this to really know that you're on my side. Okay, 1, 2, 3. All right, 1, 2, 3, Ethan. That's good. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, boy, give it up for Ethan. All right, love you, dude. All right, so a couple things. If you do not have notes, I really want you to take notes. It is good for you. It is good to help you to really tune in on things, to look at things back. Raise your hand if you do not have a Devo for this week. It has your note stuff in it. Raise your hand. If you take notes and you review it within 24 hours, you'll retain 70% more information. I want you not to just learn stuff because I want you to learn stuff so you become more like Jesus. So please take notes. The Devo for this week, for every single day, is on there. Super easy. How's your eight? Okay. Quick thank you. If you were here on Wednesday packing backpacks for kids in the Philippines, kids... here, we packed 30 backpacks and we're sending 70 to kids in need. If you were there, can you raise your hand? Thank you guys so much. Good job. Janessa, all these people. And shout out to Janessa. She was the only junior hire there. Shout out. Very cool. Okay, and then next week, you don't want to miss next week, we're going to talk about friends. Everybody say friends. We're going to talk about friends, how to make good friends, how to get rid of bad friends, and if you're a bad friend, how to get rid of yourself. In a good way. So don't miss that next week. And by the way, today at the very end, I want to hear from you guys. We're going to make an opportunity for you to share a testimony of what God's been doing either tonight or this week. So be prepared for that. Okay, so at the very end, be prepared to share a testimony if you want to. Okay, we'll take a couple and you can come up here, line up, and we'll share. I want to hear from you guys as well. All right, so last week we had introduced a concept called how's your eight? Turn to someone and say, how's your eight? All right, turn to someone else and say, how's your eight? Boy, how's your eight? So how's your eight? Listen, let me explain this. How's your eight is talking about, you know, there's this running theme in our series. 8 minutes a day praying, 8 minutes a day reading the Bible, fasting 8 to 10 p.m., Sunday morning 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. prayer. There's probably more. But in the Bible, there's not much mention of eight. There really isn't. But there's one Jewish tradition where eight represents an eighth day that's not even in your normal week. It's not even in the normal work week that you would spend in relationship with people. And so eight, when we say eight, we mean relationship. Everybody say relationship. So we want to coin a phrase called how's your eight? How's your eight? And your response when someone asks you that, it's not to judge people. It's just to say, how you doing? We care about each other. We want each other to grow. And you can say, I'm great or I'm late. I'm great or I'm late. So on the count of three, wherever you're at, either you're great or you're late. Great meaning I'm following Jesus. You know, I'm doing good. Late means, you know, I haven't been praying. I'm not doing so good. On the count of three, I want you to say it to yourself, great or late. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right. The past couple of days, you know, I've been kind of whatever. All right. So I think that's about it. So today, take notes, respond. Let's practice again. Say that's good. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Okay, that makes me feel better. All right, cool. All right. So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 19, 11 through 18. Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 19, 11 through 18. Write that down. Acts 19, 11 through 18. Oh, and by the way, who can show me their notes from last week? Anybody? Whoever can show me them first, I'll give you $20. August 2nd. Toby, yeah. All right, Toby. This is bribery. This is bribery. All right, next week I'm probably going to ask the same question, but maybe it'll be $50. I don't know. $100. We'll see. All right, I really want you to do it, obviously. I really want you to do it. So take notes. Take notes. All right, Acts chapter 19, 11 through 18. Man, I'm expecting something tonight. I'm not saying I'm expecting God to sneak in and rock your world, but I'm expecting something. If it's a start of something, maybe you're super far from God. Maybe you're feeling powerless. Maybe you don't know God. You don't believe in God. Or maybe you're here today and you just want a new feeling. You want to be empowered. Today, we're going to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, a lot of us are skeptics. And I think I would raise my hand and say, you know, I've been skeptical. I've seen a lot of weird stuff, man. When I was in Bible college, I went to the most Pentecostal Bible college in America. It was called Some College, literally Some College, S-U-M, Some College. And every year we would go to a celebration called Mardi Gras. Have you heard of that? Mardi Gras. It is the biggest party, like, in America. And there's a place called Bourbon Street. And if you're walking down Bourbon Street, you're not up to good things. You're up to, like, getting drunk, getting high, getting naked, something. And so we were down there for an outreach. College students down there for an outreach. I went twice. And so to get filled up for these things, they would do some weird stuff, man. I walked into the room, and they were praying. And this is me when I wasn't skeptical. And I walked in the room, and they're praying. And they said, man, we're going to do a prayer, what do they call it? A prayer line, a prayer tunnel, a fire tunnel is what they called it, fire tunnel. Have you heard of that? Have you seen that? Ooh, Dave, you know that, man. He said, we're going to do a fire tunnel. And a fire tunnel, if you've ever been like a cheerleader or you've been to on sports, is when they go like this, and then you run through the middle, and like, ooh. But this is a spiritual fire tunnel, man. So when you're running through this tunnel, you're expecting God to hit you, not someone else. God to hit you. Like the Indians, they'd run through and they'd beat each other with like sticks. This would be like God beating you with spiritual sticks. And at the very end of this tunnel, no joke, there was like, it was like a fumble had happened at the very end, and people were piling up. No joke. At the very end, there was a pile of people, and you could either walk around and be like, nope, or you could be like, yep, and you just basically fall down in this big, huge dog pile. No joke, as Pentecostal as they come. And we'd go down there, we ministered to people, like we'd be in groups, and people yelling at us, cussing at us. I remember praying for this dude, and he was just standing on the street, and he's really faded. And we started praying for him, and at the very end, it was this chick. And at the very end, as we're talking to this chick, she gives her life to Jesus, and all of a sudden, her voice changed from a woman to a man. No joke. And at that moment, we realize, oh my gosh, this person was born a woman. Like, and, oh, I'm confused. I'm confused. All right. One of the two. They shifted. Yeah. One of the two. And so a lot of stuff happened, man. Like, we would try to preach the gospel to people, and they would totally just, like, tell us off, or, like, they'd literally say, eyes down, and then, like, because people were, like, they were naked. They were walking on the street naked, and we were there. So I've seen the Pentecostal, man. Like, I've seen people, like, pushed out. I don't know if you've ever heard about that or seen that, but, like, they're walking through, and they go, and people would just be like, whoom. It's like a spiritual trust fall, and you expect God to catch you. But you literally fall down and God's moving in your life. I've seen some weird stuff. And I think a lot of us would agree that, you know, there's some stuff that we're skeptical about in the Bible or skeptical about when it comes to church. How many of you would say that you're maybe a bit skeptical about some things when it comes to spiritual stuff? I would say that I am. However, I have seen some really powerful things in scripture and in real life. I remember the first time that I got prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which in the Christian world, if you don't know what that means, is basically you're praying for the power of God and you're expecting an evidence of tongues or power or prophecy or something. The first time I got prayed for it, I was at a conference in Hawaii where I lived. I was in junior high in eighth grade. Went up to the front. They're preaching. Everybody's getting prayed for. It was this huge thing. People were crying. People were like getting prayed for and all this stuff. And my friends next to me started like speaking in tongues, like doing their thing. I'm like, wow, like I want that too. And half an hour goes by, 45 minutes goes by, nothing, dude, nothing. And so I'm like, I want to get out of here, man. This is uncomfortable. Because everybody else who was praying for my friends, when they were done, they came over to me. So I had like 10 people around me. So this is like, if I don't get filled, there's something wrong with me. So they started praying for me, and I want to get out of there. So I heard some tongues, what it should sound like, and I was like, shoot. Bada Honda, shoulda bada Mazda. Bada Honda, shoulda bada Mazda. And so I was like, I'll fake it. So I faked it so I can get out of there, dude. Faked it. My youth pastor was praying for me. He's like, man, God was doing something in your life. That's amazing. Would you want to give a testimony on Sunday? I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll give a testimony. Okay, cool. He kind of forced me, and I wasn't feeling it. So he forced me. I gave a testimony about a fake baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many of you would say you've done that before? Whew. Don't do that. So I gave a testimony. That was when I was 12 or 13. Gave a fake testimony. So, you know, I've seen a lot of fake stuff, and I think you've seen some fake stuff. You know, fake people in real life, fake people at church, people who would come to church, they're raising their hands, they go to school, and they're, like, sleeping around, or they're messaging people nasty stuff on Snapchat. They're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. And there's some fake people out there, right? I've seen some fake stuff. But I want to tell you in a bit, I've seen some real stuff, too. Just because something's fake doesn't mean that there's nothing real. Just because you've always seen fake plants, for example, if your parents kill their plants or something because they don't know how to water them, doesn't mean that real plants don't exist, right? Just because there's fake things doesn't mean that there's not real things. And people make fake things because there are real things, right? You can't make something that's fake if there's not something real. It's called counterfeit. People make fake money because there is an existence of real money, okay? People do fake things spiritually because there are real things spiritually. In Acts chapter 19, let's read that. Acts 19, 11 through 18. We're going to get real today. The title of today's message is Faking the Eight. Faking the Eight. Faking the Eight. All right, let's read Acts 19, 11 through 18. Some weird stuff's going to happen in this verse, okay? All right. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons, he must have been a baker, that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases, and evil spirits were expelled. I don't think I've heard of this like happening. I'm pretty skeptical about happening, today, because the people who did it, I don't doubt that God can use anything at all. God can speak through a donkey like he did in the Bible. God can do this through a handkerchief. He can do that. But that's some pretty crazy stuff, if you have to admit it. Like someone stealing, walking in Paul's room while he's sleeping, taking his face mask and putting it on, expecting to be healed of being mute or something like that. That's crazy stuff, dude. Everybody say that's good. Yeah. Verse 13. So a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. They were the seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest. So the leading priest Sceva had seven sons that were doing this together. What happened was back then, they literally would make this their career. They would walk around from town to town, and people would pay them money, just like you see in the movies. This movies you shouldn't be watching, The Exorcist, Emily Rowe, whatever that stuff is. They would pay them money to walk in a room and exercise, exercise people, like take the demons out. They pay the money, but they would invoke the names of Solomon and Moses. Solomon and Moses. But then they heard about this guy named Jesus, who did a really good job at this demon thing. And so they started to use his name. And they didn't even say, I command you in the name of Jesus. They said, I command you in the name of Jesus, that Paul preaches, to come out. So basically they're like, I don't know the guy, but do it. So seven sons of Sceva, they do this. But one time they tried it, and the evil spirit replied. How many of you know that evil spirits are real? They're supernatural. You know, a lot of us, you know, we're like, I haven't seen it myself. But there's so much evidence in scripture, so many stories backed up by experience that just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean that it's not real. You've never seen the moon in real life. Like you've seen it in the sky, but you've never been on the moon. You've never seen the world from outer space, but you believe it by faith because we believe that the earth is round, right? Any flat earthers out there? No. But we haven't been in space to see it, so we're basing our belief on the amount of evidence from other people, okay? That's what we're basing our belief on. Okay, so they tried it once, and the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you?" I feel like they edited it out. Who the crap are you? Who the are you? This is a demon. This is not like a church person. Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, jumped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. Sounds like a chicken strip. Naked and battered, ready to be fried. Verse 17. So the story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear, everybody say fear, descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. And the verses after that say these people were practicing witchcraft. There was like potions, like all this stuff. They sold their books, which was worth tons of money, to follow Jesus. There were some powerful things happening, but they tried to fake. Let's pray. God, today I pray that those things that are fake would be exposed. I pray that those things that are real would be experienced today, God. I pray that you'd start something new in each person's life. And God, I pray that you begin to expose our hearts, God, the things that we're faking that we need to let you touch, that we need to let you empower today. In Jesus' name, everybody said? Everybody said? All right, give somebody a fist bump, dude. Yeet. I have no idea what that means. I don't even know if that's cool or whatever. I don't care. All right. If you play basketball, there's some people who play basketball that they pump fake all the time, all right? So they'll pump fake, they'll travel, they'll pump fake. Usually it's when someone who's not experienced plays basketball, they're like, right? Any basketball players out there? All right. So when I think of fake, I think of, you know, when we pump fake, we're faking that we're taking a shot because either we're experienced and we know that we're about to take another shot that's going to be better, or we're too nervous that the shot won't go in. So we're going to pump fake and pump fake and pump fake and stall in order to make people not guard us anymore so that we can take a shot that won't take any risks, okay? God is not going to bite at our pump fakes. God is not going to bite at our pump fakes. This is what I mean. When you are at church, when you're in prayer, when you are, you know, at home and you're saying, "I want to follow Jesus," but deep down you're like, "Nah, nah." Or like you're at church and you're like, "Man, like, oh, I love that song. I'm all in." But deep down you're like, "I don't even believe in God." Like, God is not going to bump at your pump fake or jump at your pump fake. He is waiting for you to actually take a shot. Actually take a shot. But the risk is, if you take a shot and you're wrong, what happens when you miss? What happens when someone sees you crying? What happens when someone thinks you're weird? What happens when you lose your friends? What happens when the girl who you liked, who you thought was cute, doesn't like you anymore because you're weird now? What happens when people at school find out that you're a Christian and you invited somebody to church and they went to church and it was weird? What happens when your pump fake gets caught? God doesn't bite at your pump fake. He doesn't jump at it. He wants a real surrender, a real surrender. That's what I'm praying tonight, a real surrender. I want you to think about that. Have I pump faked? Have I just made an attempt? Or have I actually jumped in and taken a shot at God? Have I actually surrendered? In this story, we saw seven sons of Sceva, not Stevia, Sceva. And these guys were sons of priests. They knew the scripture front to back. They knew it, but they were missing something. And they knew it because they started using a name of somebody who they didn't know, they knew of, because they wanted actual power. Come on. You guys are going to see in a second. They wanted actual power. They're using a name of somebody they didn't know because they knew it worked, but they didn't actually know him. But they knew he had power, so they wanted to use it. And what happens? They get their butt beat, sent out of the house, and embarrassed. I wonder if afterwards they were like, "Man, I need to get to know this Jesus. I need to know what he's really like. I need to know him." These guys remind me of myself. They remind me of my friends. They remind me of maybe in some of you, where we think that faking it looks better than being real. The fake things seem like it would work. You know, if I pray like they pray, if I go to their church, if I sing their song, something's going to happen. And some of us have been disappointed. We use the same name of Jesus. We worship the same name of Jesus. And we think that there's power in it. But we don't have a real relationship with God. We don't know him. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Have you known him? Maybe you've walked away. Do you know him? That's what we're talking about today. These guys, they were using a name that they didn't know. And actually, it's interesting. They say the demon talks to them, and he's not nice about it. He says, I know Jesus. I know him. And then the next word they use in Greek, the word they say is no, the K-N-O-W in English, is actually a different word. It says, I'm acquainted, or I know of Paul. I know intimately. I know who this Jesus is. I know him, but I don't know you. I don't know you. And there's some of you in this room who I love it, the way that you pray, the way that you worship, the way that you live. People, demons, they know who you are. They know it. And they don't want you to succeed. Even as I was preparing this message, I could just feel the weight. You can feel the weight when you begin to witness to your friends and your family. Things just start to go wrong sometimes. Like your health, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your friends. Things start to go wrong. And it's not that God is trying to judge you or he's sending this on you. But there's actually a spiritual battle going on around you where they're trying to take you down because they know your name. They know who you are. They know who you know. And that's what's happening in the world around us. As you see all this stuff happening around you and there's fights and arguments. And I think actually next year, I wouldn't be surprised if churches actually put on their website, you know, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe in mass. We believe in no mass. I think that will be on somebody's doctrinal statements. Like, that is scary. That is, like, crazy to me to think that that would be something. It's not even in the Bible. It's a gray area that somebody would put that's dividing the church right now. And you know why? It's because we have a spiritual enemy. His name is Satan. He's got a bunch of little minions around, demons that are trying to attack you and I. And we need to realize that we need real power. We can't just say, oh, Jesus' name, go away. Like, we have to know Jesus. To know Jesus. Amen? Everybody say that's good. All right. Today we're going to ask God to empower us in a big way. I want to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. Have you ever wondered who the Holy Spirit is? Like, why does our church talk about Holy Spirit so much? Have you ever wondered that? Like, you've been to another church and they're like, last Sunday I went to Life.Church. Have you heard of that church? It meets at Millard West. And I was on a staycation, so we like to visit other churches. Went there, totally different. Walked in the room and they're playing Adore You by Harry Styles. Like, I was like, what is going on, dude? And they're singing it passionately like they're worshiping. And that's cool. That's their style. They'll do anything short of send the rich people for Christ. That's cool. That's them. I've been to another church. I went to Wisconsin. With shout out to Lauren. She's from Wisconsin over there. Went to Wisconsin and visited a church. Not one person lifted their hands in that service except for the pastor. And there was probably 500 people in the room. It was crazy. They had lights. They had a band. They had cool stuff, man. There is some cool stuff out there. What's unique about our church is we believe that the Holy Spirit still moves today. And the reason why we believe that is because the Trinity, the Bible talks a lot about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, they are one. And when Jesus left, he actually said, it is better that I go. So Jesus, the Son of God, who did all these miracles, saying, it is better that I go because I'm going to send somebody, and his name is Holy Spirit. It is better that I go. You're kidding me. And I want to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. We see the Holy Spirit, write this down, Genesis 1:2. The Bible says at the very beginning, second verse of the Bible, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was there. Old Testament, Judges 14:6. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson in strength. By the way, every single gift of the Holy Spirit except for tongues is in the Old Testament. Every single gift of the Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament. Judges 14:6, the Holy Spirit came on Samson in strength. The Holy Spirit was an external force that came upon people at certain times for strength. It was very rare that he dwelled internally. Ezekiel 36:27, in Joel 2:28, this is prophesied. It says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them. So basically, Ezekiel's prophesying, you know, in the future, he's telling us the Holy Spirit will reside within you. Everybody say within me. Everybody say within me. Awesome. Joel 2:28, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. This is thousands of years ago. I'll pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. He's saying in the future, this is all going to happen. And we see it again in Acts. He says the same thing. God is still doing something. Amen. All right. Jesus gets baptized and the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came upon him. And the Holy Spirit dwelled within him. Obviously, Jesus was the Son of God, so, you know, he was fully God, fully man. But Jesus had a moment where the Holy Spirit came down and dwelled on him. Wow. So if you're like, man, I don't need this Holy Spirit thing. Jesus did. Jesus wanted it. Okay? Shoot. John 14:15. Jesus says, John baptized in water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You will receive power. Everybody say power. You will receive power. He didn't say you'll receive tongues, you'll receive prophecy, you'll receive this. Power. Power. I want you to write that word down. Power. That's what we're going to ask for tonight. We're not asking for weird. We're not asking for a fire tunnel. We're not asking for tongues. We're asking for power. God might do all those things, but we're asking for power. That is the purpose. There's a lot of things the Holy Spirit does. He comforts, he teaches, he does all these things. He reveals things, but he also empowers for a life lived for Jesus. If you're feeling like you're struggling with pornography, if you feel like you're struggling with your identity, he empowers you for that. And he also empowers you to do things that are beyond your own ability. Maybe you're preaching to a family member and it's going to take 10 years to preach to them. But the Holy Spirit gives you a word of knowledge, which means you know something that was in their past or in their present. You speak it to them and it erases 10 years of talking to them about Jesus and they get saved right there. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He empowers us for a stronger ministry to further the church. And I think all of us can agree that the church still needs to be furthered, that we still need to grow personally, that people still need to get saved. Amen. There's a whole lot in the Bible. I'm not going to go through all that today, but Acts 2:4 is a good example. Acts 2:4, really interesting. So 2 months, about 50 days after Jesus dies and gets resurrected, the people are waiting in the upper room. And they're waiting. People leave, and there's a remnant there, and they wait. And all of a sudden, there comes a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And then divided tongues of fire. I have no idea what that looks like. But it says divided tongues of fire appeared over their heads, and they began to speak in other tongues. And these tongues were actually languages that other people could understand that they were never taught. People outside were hearing them because it was in the celebration of Pentecost. And they said, these people are crazy. They're drunk, out of their minds. They're partying in there. I don't know what the heck's going on in there. And then Peter walks out. He gives a sermon. And he says, these men are not drunk. This is the prophecy fulfilled. Jesus Christ is Lord. And he preaches them a sermon. And they get saved. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit comes, he points people to Jesus, right? He points people to Jesus. He gives you power to point people to Jesus. So I think a telltale sign of people, if they're acting or being fake, is if unsaved people are weirded out. Honestly, I do. If somebody's walking up to you and they don't know about Jesus and they are weirded out by what's going on, I think it's a sign that maybe you might be doing something that's a little wonky. Because the Bible says that, you know, tongues are for people who don't believe. It's really interesting. I may not be right on that, but that's how I feel. All right. Everybody say that's good. All right. Good. Acts chapter 8, people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, Paul placed his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all, it says. So multiple times after Acts chapter 2, people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues or prophesying. Lots of cool things happen, but they're filled with power. And this is after they get saved. It's really interesting how you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but there's moments where you don't get more of God. You get more of his power. I want to make that clear. You have the fullness of God when you get saved. Fullness of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. But you get his power in moments of prayer that elevates your ability to witness, elevates your ability to live for Jesus, elevates your faith. Okay, it's not more of God, it's more of his power. Everybody say power. All right, so I want to go through a couple things on this, and we have some slides. I want you to write these things down. But a couple things in the Holy Spirit, because this stuff is, I feel like people don't teach on this enough, and I really want to teach you what is right and what's wrong when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Not because he needs me to do that, because he can do whatever he wants. There was a story about a girl, and it was in Peru, and she was prayed for, and she was a young girl, and she began to speak in English, in tongues, because she never knew English. And there was a Presbyterian pastor came by, and he's like, "What the heck?" He's like, "Well, obviously she's speaking in tongues because you guys taught her that." And the pastor's like, "No, like, we haven't even been here. She didn't know that this was supposed to happen. It just happened." So God can just do that without you even knowing about it. Acts chapter 2, they didn't know it was going to be tongues. They just knew it was going to be power. So, all right, number one, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about the power of God, is it's not fake, and it's not bought or taught. I can't teach you. I can't say, repeat after me, "Bought a Honda, should have bought a Mazda. Bought a Honda, should have," everybody tell together, "bought a Honda, Mazda." I can't do that. Okay, you can't buy it. Okay, there was a guy in the Bible who tried to buy it. Did you know that story? Simon the sorcerer, there was a sorcerer who got saved in Acts 19, I think it was right after the sons of Sceva. He got saved and he said, "Wow, man, I could prophesy, I could speak in tongues. How much is it?" And Peter's like, "Bro, you can't buy this." So you can't buy it. And it's not fake. It's not something, you can definitely fake it, but your life, your fruits of your life, and you know if you're faking it or not. You can't fake it. All right, number two. It's not the same as salvation. Acts 19 talks about that. The 12 guys walk up to Paul, and they said, "You know, we were baptized in the baptism of John," and then they get saved, baptized in the name of Jesus, and then they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's a different moment, okay? There's a different empowerment. And I think we can all agree when we pray or when we read the Bible, we feel more of God's power, okay? When you get saved, it's not the end-all be-all, okay? You're becoming more like Jesus, and you're becoming filled with more of his power, all right? Everybody say that's good. All right, number three, it's not just for a few people. Acts 2:39 says, it is for every believer. It's for your sons and your daughters and for all who are far off. Far off. Not close. Sons and daughters, it's generational. It was for Timothy. I don't know if he was at Pentecost, but it's for Timothy when he led the church. It's not just for a few people. It's for every single person, everyone who's afar off. Everybody say that's good. All right. Number four, listen, it's not natural, okay? It is supernatural, okay? I can't teach you how to do that, and Jesus is the one who does it, okay? An example of this is David when he was facing Goliath. Whew. When he was facing Goliath, he had a sling and he had 5 stones. There's no way that he could have defeated Goliath like that. It was supernatural weaponry. It's just supernatural weaponry. That's what it's like. That's my son over there. But see, that's good. I'm excited for the end of this message, shoot. All right. Number five, not just for Bible times. Okay, it's for you and your children, not just for Bible times. Number six, it is not without evidence. And let me explain this. Okay. An experience where nothing happens on the outside or inside is just entertainment. An experience that nothing happens on the outside or inside is just entertainment. And we have a lot of that. Okay? It's just a show. Absolutely just a show. Okay? This experience with God has to have evidence. Maybe it's tongues. Maybe it's empowerment. For me, I remember when I got saved, I had a moment where I not only got saved, but I got transformed. I was struggling intensely with pornography. Intensely. Like, no joke, dude. Intensely. I was addicted to video games. Played 12 hours a day. I was so shy to talk to people. I would stand in the second row. Didn't want anything to do with worship, whatever. Didn't sing. Never danced in my life. All that. Never preached. I mean, it makes me nervous. But all those things change in one moment. God broke my addiction to pornography. I began to sing. I tried to be a worship leader. I wasn't good at singing still, but God gave me a boldness to do that. I started to dance. I started to lead, and I was the shyest person in the world. I began to change, and all that happened, it was evidence of something that was happening. Not only that, was I had an encounter I'll tell you about in a little bit, but where God gave me spiritual gifts. Okay, it's evidence. Everybody say evidence. All right. Number seven, it's not a sign that you've arrived. Okay, it doesn't make you better or worse. It's not a sign that God loves you more or less. Just because tonight when you pray and you don't feel like you receive like a bunch of power, doesn't mean that God loves you less, okay? It's not a sign that you've arrived. There's always more to God. He's a big God. And then number eight, there's no Kool-Aid. Sorry, there's no Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid meaning, like, people back then, there's a story, all you older people know, but there's this guy who had this cult, and basically he had everybody come in the room, he gave them Kool-Aid, they all died. Okay, so he basically forced them to drink Kool-Aid. It was this weird cult thing. But there's no Kool-Aid, okay? We're not going to make you drink Kool-Aid. We're not going to make you, like, do something. We're not going to be weird. But there's no Kool-Aid. God won't force you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. He'll just do it when you surrender. Okay. All right. So I want to show you an example, and then I want to talk about how to do that. And, you know, it might happen tonight where you have more power of God. It might happen when you get home or next week or in 2 weeks. I don't know. God's in control of that, and you have to surrender to him. All right. So I want to show you this. All right, so right here, we have a oil lamp. Okay, some of you homeschoolers use this still in your house. But this is an oil lamp. That's why I have it. And this oil lamp is interesting because it will keep burning because of the oil down here. And the oil actually lasts a long time. It really does. But if you've never seen this, this is pretty cool the way it works. Okay. Okay, so I want to explain it like this. This fire is obviously real, right? Everybody say real. It's obviously real, okay? There's not anything fake about this. So there's a spark, and then the flame ignites, and the oil keeps it going, okay? As the wick gets lower and lower, you have to bring the wick up, and it will get brighter. It's really cool how it gets brighter. But it will get brighter the more the wick is exposed, okay? Because the wick is soaked in oil. When you put it down and cover up the wick, the light's still there. It hasn't gone out, but the light has diminished. It's dim, okay? To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to receive the power of God, there's three things that the Bible instructs us to do. Number one is ask. Number one is ask. Write that down. Ask. Luke 11 talks about how when you want a spiritual gift, your father wants to give good gifts to his children. So when you ask, he's not going to mess around with you. He's not going to say, ha-ha, you asked for a spiritual gift. I'm going to mess with you and make you wait a month. It says, ask and you'll receive. It says, the Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Okay? The Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those. So it's specifically the Holy Spirit you're asking for. Number two, believe. The Bible says in James 1, it says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. For anyone who doubts cannot expect to receive anything from God. You know why? Because skepticism kills faith. Skepticism kills faith. And I felt this for me too. I'll tell you about that in a second. Skepticism kills faith. And three is receive. Three is receive. And I want to tell you my experience. So the more the wick is exposed, the more the fire burns. The more that we are surrendered to God, the more that he is able to burn up the junk in our lives, to set us to a place where we're bold for Jesus, to give us the power that we need to live for him in this really crazy world. The more that we are exposed, surrendered, given over, allowing God to move in our lives, not closed off, not skeptical, not our faith is based on our parents, not our faith is based on our church or what the worship team sings, but the more our wick is exposed to God, the more our heart is exposed to him, the more he will burn in our lives. That wick is soaked in oil. The oil in the Bible a lot of times represents the Holy Spirit. A lot of times it represents prayer. And this oil keeps this lamp burning. Some of us, the oil has dried up because our prayer life is just based on what we can understand, our intellect, what we can understand. We need the oil. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And a lot of times what we do is we turn it down right here because we don't want to shine too bright because we get too much attention. So God wants to expose that. For me, I want to show you my experience as the worship team comes up. I almost said Holy Spirit team. The worship team comes up. I want to share my experience with you. Obviously, I had a fake experience, right? Some of you may have had an experience, but you didn't fake it, okay? And I'm proud of you for not doing that, okay? I had another experience, though, and I came to youth. We had a group of about, 50 students, maybe? Melissa remembers. 50 students, and I was here in eighth grade. We had just did a transition from a youth pastor, and we were here, and I remember that the whole season, but we began to grow, and God began to do some things, and but the thing was, every single altar call I would go up, every single one. And an altar call, for people who don't know, is when you come up here, you respond to the message and say, God, I want some of that. Every single one I'd go up for that altar call, every single time. Even in the adult church, I would go up. And I remember one time we went to a place in St. Louis at a hotel. And I was so sick of going up, man. I was so sick of it. You can't even comprehend how sick I was of not feeling like God empowered me. I was so sick of that. And so I still would go up. I went up and something happened. And so I was praying and they're praying for me. And I was just like, man, I was so frustrated. And I was crying, and I wasn't crying like God was moving in my life. It was crying because I was frustrated. And sometimes we can mistake tears for something good when something maybe bad's going on. But tears are coming on my face, and the youth pastor walked by and put his hand on my shoulder and said, Isaiah, you got to stop trying. It's a gift. You just got to receive. And so at that point, I put aside my intellect. I put aside understanding how it worked. It's like, do I just, like, let it happen? Do I, like, have to have a certain person touch my shoulder? Like, how does this work? I don't know how this works. I can't control this. This is weird. And so he prayed for me. Remember in that moment, my lips started to quiver. The tears started to come down my face, and I wasn't really a crier necessarily, but the tears changed from tears of frustration to tears of what is going on. And at the whole time I was conscious, like I could tell what was going on. And God began to do something in me. I had this vision, and nobody pushed me over. But I felt like I was just so overwhelmed. I just wanted to lay down and just take it in. So I just, without anybody pushing me down, I just laid down. I laid there on the ground, just crying. And all of a sudden, this language, spiritual language, just began to come out. And I just began to pray. And it was just like so freeing. I sat there for maybe like 30 minutes to an hour. God just doing something in my life. And man, God just set me on fire. He set me on fire for him. And it was just one of the best experiences of my life because it was something I was fighting for so long, and it was a free gift, and just I felt so empowered by that, and I just want that for every single person. I want that for you guys. I want that for my family, my son. I pray that for Israel all the time. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit at a young age, not so he can be in the club, but so he can have power. I don't want us to be like the sons of Sceva, walking around thinking, oh, I'm a Christian, I have power. But we don't have relationship. We don't have that moment with God. We don't have that power. And those moments should be often. We don't want to be those people that walk around and act like we can do things, but then when our friends are really struggling, we don't know what to say. Or when someone is demon-possessed, we're like, you take care of that. Like, I'm not the pastor, you guys do that. Or when somebody's dealing with something like depression or suicide, we don't know what to say, what to do, what to pray. Our parents are getting divorced, and we're like, I don't know what to do. Like, when we have the power of the Holy Spirit, it changes our whole life. And I can imagine there's people around us, maybe even you, who the reason why you can't get anywhere is because your relationship with the Lord is not set on fire. The wick is not exposed. The wick is not exposed in our life.